Contract Properties is a homegrown, family-owned maintenance company located in Nashville. They provide HVAC, electrical, plumbing, painting, and many other services for commercial and residential properties. From build-outs to junk removal, one call does it all. Whether you're a homeowner or a property manager, give Contract Properties a call today for a free estimate. 615-356-0755. That's 615-356-0755. Or visit contractproperties.net.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Now it's time for Jason Martin and Vol for Life Ramon Foster.
Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
Together, they are J-Mart and Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.
Wait a second. Are we not going to talk Steve Harvey today to open this show?
Hey.
All the news about your football team ain't been good news.
Man, slow down. We're choosing joy-ish, maybe, okay?
That's what I put in our rundown today. You asked the question yesterday, are we choosing joy or are we twisting the knife? And I'm saying we're choosing joy-ish. Like, I wasn't expecting that yesterday at all. I don't think anybody was really expecting that yesterday. Danny White, the new athletic director, leaving UCF, which he's done a very good job down there. We lay it out. Mm-hmm. Some of the hires that he's made. This is a guy that has experience and knows what he's walking into.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just be real. This did not just happen yesterday or 2 days ago. There was a scheme. There was some scheming, some skullduggery, some shenanigans going on around these parts.
As much as I heard all the good stuff about him yesterday, people on social media just sending me messages saying, hey, this is a real big hire. This is a huge hire. You talk to people that surround the university, it's like, we got the one. It's just all of those things. Like, the Dwight Schrute where he's slow clapping, nodding his head. That's what happened yesterday, I guess, from everybody from a distance. Like, oh, you guys can do something good because this seems like a really good hire right now. Anyway, all the optics look good. The respect factor around the NCAA and the culture circles and just people who are around these type of dealings are saying that Danny White is a really good hire. Only question I got about him, Jay, is this. I'm looking at his Wikipedia, and it's got born 1980. It's got around 40, 41. They don't really know his age, man. Yeah. So he might just be... He might just be a ghost out here until we see him on the podium up on Rocky Top.
Well, he was the AD at Buffalo from 2012 mm-hmm. to 15. While he was at Buffalo, he hired Bobby Hurley. He hired Nate Oates. If Nate Oates rings a bell, it should. He's now the Alabama head coach and is doing really well
mm-hmm.
this season if you've paid attention to the Crimson Tide. He also hired Lance Leopold. And he has definitely given Buffalo football another shot in the arm. Probably the best they've looked since, what, Turner Gill?
Yeah.
Turner Gill was really firing.
I'm talking about and still putting guys in the league, too.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
developing players is the guys that he's hired.
Then he goes to Central Florida,
mm-hmm.
hires Scott Frost. That worked out. That worked out very, very well.
Out of nowhere, too, with that one, man. People were looking like, oh, is this really happening? And it really, like... They made some headway, man, with everything that they got going on.
They were undefeated in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Then he hired Josh Heupel, the former national championship quarterback from Oklahoma, and he's 28-8 there in 3 years.
Yeah.
Whether you like Josh Heupel or not in terms of long-term coach. He also hired Johnny Dawkins. Let's not forget that. The Central Florida team that nearly beat Zion in the NCAA tournament.
By 1 point.
2 seasons ago, right at the end of the game where Taco almost had him. Boy, Taco Fall, my guy. almost had him beat. But Dawkins was a great hire as well. So he's been able to get guys. He's been able to spot talent. He's been able to pick talent mm-hmm. that you didn't necessarily expect in some cases and make it work. And UCF's become a very solid program under his leadership. So you take him away from Central Florida. And you bring him to a place with a ton of resources, a ton of money, and a whole lot of hunger to be relevant again across athletics, especially in its premier sport in college.
Yep. You football. You say something now in the words that you're saying. You said take him away from Central Florida. Like that in itself, we're not going to act like Central Florida is a small job because it's not. It's student enrollment, 65,000. 65,000 students enrolled at Central Florida, man. So it's, this guy understands bringing in students, bringing in student athletes, running a school as far as the athletics are concerned, man. And he's done a really good job. The student enrollment as of fall 2019 last year at UT was 29,000. They more than double our enrollment is what I'm saying.
This is something weird too. This is a family full of athletic directors.
I saw that.
Like you sometimes see coaches like Harbaugh's or mm-hmm. something like that where you do tend to see that kind of happen. But Danny White's father is the AD at Duke, Kevin.
Like that's an easy job because
right.
it's not
right.
trying to figure out how to win at a university like that.
Brian White is the AD at Florida Atlantic. That's his brother. His sister, Mariah, is an assistant AD at SMU. So that apparently that's the career path in the White households. Like as soon as you're born, they start teaching you how to spot talent on coaching staffs.
The way it seems is like his dad, man. His dad, he's raised them all. Hey, come here. Let me show you how to run the playground while you're out there. Okay, you don't want the swing, or you want the basketball court at this time. Let me show you how to get that. Okay, imagine the instructions he's giving his kids, because for all of them to be AD, assistant ADs, or just in a position of just saying, hey, like you say, you have certain families that do certain thing. You got brothers that play sports. You got, you know what I'm saying, siblings that become executives, you know, at companies. There's a family businesses and stuff like that. Who would ever chance it, man, to say, hey, we're going to be in administration and management of people on the sports side?
And the guy who replaced Mike White at Buffalo in 2015 was Alan Green. If that name rings a bell, it's because he's now Auburn's athletic director. So the last two guys that have held that Buffalo gig have gone on now to helm Auburn and Tennessee. But Danny White's just, I don't think many people paying attention to what was going on thought Tennessee was going to be able to get somebody like mm-hmm. this. They thought they were probably going to have to take a little bit more of a risk mm-hmm. because Danny White kind of proven.
Yeah.
He's done a lot, and he's done it at places where it's harder to make good hires in many cases. You have to be able to spot talent because you're not going to get the biggest name guys for mm-hmm. some of these gigs, and he's still been able to find diamonds in the rough.
Yeah.
He's been able to give guys opportunities, and a lot of those opportunities have worked out. And I think the question then just becomes, does this open up the coaching search at Tennessee
a little bit more.
Some coaches that might not have taken that phone call 2 days ago mm-hmm. are going to take it now because they see some kind of a turn in leadership?
And that's what the reports have said. Like I said, the people that have just reached out, I'm sure said something to you on your post, or I've had people directly message me about this. Like, this is big for us. Immediately after it happens, I get a call, I get a text from somebody inside the building, not a coach or anything, just administration, that said, this is huge for us. Like, the excitement is almost as if you got the number one recruiting class in a year, both football, basketball, and baseball. It's the way it sounds from the people that I talked to inside the building. That were just, it was like, we can finally breathe a little bit. Like, beforehand, the people that I knew was like, man, it feels a little bit of a black cloud, like doom and gloom up here in Knoxville. And now, after yesterday, what was it, about 12 o'clock yesterday?
Yeah, it was right after lunch, somewhere in there.
Right after lunch, and the people that I knew up in Knoxville was like, this is big for us, man. And not only that, whether true or not, but the reports around it from what we saw was this. Him coming there, they understand the buyout, I think it was $2.5 million from UCF.
Mm-hmm.
There was no mentions of him. There was no mention of the search. They were clean about it. And it just happened. No involvement from public media. I mean, it was a lot that transpired, and you know it did, Jason, because this type of hire didn't just happen yesterday. But the beautiful part about it was, from at least what we're hearing, is the boosters are behind them, and they're saying, we're opening up the book for whoever you want to go get. As Vols fans, like you said, for coaches who are, you know, probably would have turned it down, not even accepted a call from UT. Having Danny White there seems to have changed the temperature of the boosters, the donors, and just the entire university. Say, hey, whatever you need to do, we're going to make it happen. And as far as the money side of it, because you're going to have to convince a really good coach to probably either take a little bit of a pay cut early on and then you backload them.
Well, or we heard Andy say this yesterday and we already knew it. You're going to have to give a long contract.
Oh, yeah.
You're probably going to, you look at the Lions, what they did with Dan Campbell. Here's a 6-year deal. You know, like there's a lot of these commitments, 6-7 year contracts.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to give somebody 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you just pick the worst head coach in the world, whoever this is has got to have time. And the fans have to give him time from day one. Like, you just have to understand this is not going to be an overnight rebuild whatsoever. It's not going to be Bill O'Brien. We know that now officially.
They
announced him as OC yesterday afternoon. So you can cross him off the list, but I think this puts some guys back into play.
Yeah.
I think Malzahn probably gives this much more consideration than he would have. Now, you may still want a Chadwell. You may still want someone like that, and that's still going to be out there for you. But this is the kind of thing where maybe Tom Herman will listen to you now.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody, if that's who you're looking for, then maybe you do. Now, I think the key now is can't do the interim thing. Now that you got the AD,
no.
And the AD probably already... I would say Danny White already had in the back of his head some guys he wanted to contact already contacted them.
Oh, yeah.
So
it seems
I think you're going to have a real football coach by the time this thing starts.
It seems like Danny White's a guy and has respect to where it's probably a couple coaches or agents, okay, of coaches that reached out to him. Was like, hey, you really about to do this thing in Knoxville, huh? I guarantee those are the type of calls that he was getting yesterday. His influence at everywhere he's gone has shown that he can turn a program around. He can keep you relevant. He's one of those guys. I was checking it out yesterday that, fans are just excited that he's able to communicate with him. He has a social media account. You know, it's just the small things of being progressive.
That's the only thing I don't like about him.
You didn't like that about him.
No, I don't like that he was the guy that was championing the "we're also national champions" back in 2017 thing.
Yeah,
I hated that.
But
like,
you know,
I wanted
what?
To see Central Florida get beat just to end that narrative.
But you know what? People thought the same thing about Suge Knight when he told you to come to Death Row too.
Yeah,
I guess you got to build it up.
Yeah, but if you go to Death Row and then you try to leave Death Row, you might be dangled off a balcony somewhere. So I don't know if that's the example we want to set right now.
We're not Vanilla Ice on this one, I hope.
It's something else. When we come back, we've got Joey Kent coming in a little bit later on today. We've got David Ubben of The Athletic. He'll join us. We're going to talk plenty of NFL on this show. But yesterday, we had a pretty unique conversation with somebody who just hadn't talked a whole lot and really wasn't planning to talk, but talked because my partner over here makes things happen, especially with Vols for Life. Jerod Mayo spoke with us yesterday. We talked about coaching and where his future might lie and culture at Tennessee. And we didn't know at the time that the Danny White news was going to break. I would love to have gotten his thoughts on it after the fact. But that conversation, if you missed it, we're going to play that for you and then talk about it after the fact. That's coming up next. At JMart and Ramon on Twitter is where you can find us there. We'll be right back on The Zone.
Recruiting and coaching changes to the draft and media days. Our SEC football season is year round on your home for the Vols and the best SEC coverage. 104.5 The Zone.
The Zone. The Danny White news hit, and that kind of became a big time story. So we let off talking about that. We got tons of NFL to get to. One guy that is currently in the NFL, hoping to be a head coach very, very soon. Although, look, he's also willing to come to Rocky Top. I think he kind of made that clear yesterday if you were parsing it, but it was a conversation that we were lucky to have and thrilled to have that a lot of you really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. If you missed any part of it, here's your mulligan. Here's a second chance to hear it right now. It's Jerod Mayo of Vol for Life, of course, longtime Patriot, was on Belichick's staff as the inside linebackers coach in 2019 as well. He joined us in the fourth hour of J. Martin Ramon yesterday. Here's how that went.
It's been a different year for us, man. I just want to ask you about when you left UT in 2007, and I know schools go through a lot of stuff, but could you have imagined that we'd be here right now?
No way, man. Like, you know, I felt like, you know, we left the program in a pretty good spot. You know, we lost the SEC championship, which was disappointing. But, you know, obviously, you know, to go from that to where we are today, you know, multiple head coaches and really just a sense of no culture. You know what I mean? Like, even before we got there, like Tennessee, like they were a great team. Like they had great teams. There was an established culture. And we tried to continue that through our years. But then after that, it's like, I don't know what happened. You know, the following year, they fired Coach Fulmer. You know, even though they had a bunch of good players, they just had a down year, and then it's never been the same.
It hasn't been the same. And we had Rob on here, one of our classmates and roommates at the University of Tennessee. And it's interesting that you said something that he said. And we hadn't talked directly about his interview, but you said culture. Rob mentioned something about Peyton coming back in the summertime. Same thing that you did after you left and come back, about guys were able to just walk in that wanted to be a part of the university. He said Peyton Manning said something to him that kind of elevated his push to make it to the next level of being the best he could for the University of Tennessee. You remember seeing guys come back in and out of the indoor, in the weight room. What did that mean to you when you were there at the University of Tennessee, seeing Al or being able to communicate with Al Wilson or Jamal Lewis or even more recent, a Jason Allen that had gone to the league? And now that's kind of obsolete.
Yeah, you know, it meant a lot. You know, anytime you can learn from guys who have played at a high level, it's always going to be beneficial for your career and also for the culture. You know, it's easy. You know, it's good to see guys doing well. You know, they started at Tennessee and then you see them in the NFL and then come back home and kind of share stories. It's always beneficial. I will say this, though, Mom. Like, I remember coming back, you know, I was Rookie of the Year in 2008. I remember coming back in, like, 2010 or something like that. And I tried to work out in the weight room and they told me I couldn't work out when the guys were in there. And so for me, that kind of took me aback. And then I was like, well, you know what? Forget it. I'm not going to come back.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people were like, you know, Dry, why don't you never go back to the school? And like that has stuck with me for years, Mo. Like even when I was playing where they wouldn't let NFL players come back and work out around the guys. And I think that is a huge miss. A misstep by the organization.
Yeah, why would you do something like that? Like, it just seems like it would be just cool to have a you come back or a Ramon come back or Peyton or somebody like that. It would just be inspiring. It would be such a positive influence. Now, you don't want everybody rolling around the program, but some of these guys that have been there, done that, made it to the league, can share life experience, can tell you how to handle your money even, like, and certainly just get out on the field with you. And it just seems like it's a win-win all the way around. And I continue, Gerard, not to understand why anybody would try to shut that down.
I struggle with that as well. And, like, even the whole thing, like, honestly, when I went back that one time and I would just hear stories about what was going on, like, you know, sometimes I felt like they were worried about the wrong thing. And so, like, you know, no earrings in a weight room and stuff. I'm like, look, is that what we're really worried about here? Like, guys having earrings on or guys, you know, wearing a hat. To me, those are minuscule things that, you know, the coaches over the past few years have spent too much time on. And I understand they're trying to build men. I totally understand that. But at the same time, I think they need to recognize that this is a different generation. And, you know, especially with the transfer portal and all that stuff, like, honestly, like, guys are just up and leaving, like, because the culture, there's no established culture. There's no, like, and I'll say, like, from the top down, they're just worried about the wrong thing. At the end of the day, you're there to get an education, and you're also there to win football games, which, you know, those guys have not done the latter.
So we're talking about non-football issues that have become the forefront of the process of trying to build a team. So, Gerard, what's that?
No, I was going to say absolutely. You're right.
So one thing that you haven't had to deal with in your playing career is that type of culture. Being with the New England Patriots, and I know you've beat me numerous times, Mayo. You got the hardware. But speak about that, being able to be under Coach Belichick and just the guys that you played with. And honestly, you would have to say if you dislike the Patriots or not, you respect their culture. It's almost the Alabama effect. Like, yeah, you can say what you want to about them, but at the end of the day, you guys won, and you won big. What did that do for you, and how did you pulled that out and moved directly into coaching also.
Yeah, you know, honestly, like, you know, I came to a team where they had just lost one game the year before, right? So they lost the Super Bowl. Won every other game that year, obviously lost the big one. But I'll say this, like walking into a place where you have, you know, Tom Brady, Randy Moss, Vince Wilfork, Richard Seymour, Rodney Harrison, all these players that have played at a high level for a long time, and to see the culture that they had established and to really take the challenge of like carrying the torch, right? Mm-hmm. Carrying the torch for the next generation. And, you know, my mom always said, like, you know, always leave a place better than what you found it. And when you go into an organization like New England where, you know, they've won a bunch of games without you, you just try not to let those guys down. And it was great. And a lot, I'll say this about culture as well. A lot of people look at culture, I would say, almost like as a retrospective way of validating success, if that makes sense, right? So, mm-hmm. like, you could say this place has a good culture after they've won a Super Bowl. But there are some good cultures out there where the teams just aren't winning yet. And I'll say, you know, a lot of these coaches that go into programs where you have to try to change the culture. And I'll say this, changing the culture is like trying to turn the Titanic, honestly. Huh. You know, going from a losing culture to a winning culture. Like, it's not a 1 year or a 2 year thing. It takes time. You have to get your guys in there. And Bill has done a great job doing that in New England. Obviously, we had a down year this year. But look, you think about it, like, we kind of lost we kind of lost some pieces, you know, due to the opt-out process. Like, we had a lot of guys opting out. But if you look at just the way the handoffs happened, like Teddy Bruschi handed it off to me, I handed it off to Hightower, and then Hightower opted out this year. It's like you kind of lose a little bit of that. And now hopefully we get Hightower back next year, but that goes back to culture. So when you look at Tennessee, it's like, you know, Eric Westmoreland, Ray Knott, all those guys, Al Wilson, all those guys handed off to the next generation, Kevin Burnett and the Kevin Simons of the world. Then Kevin Simon and Kevin Burnett handed it off to me, right? And then I try to hand it off to, you know, Rico McCoy and all those guys. But then after a while, it starts to get, like, that connection gets weaker. And then when you don't let those older guys come back around, now the culture is, like, it's unknown. And I'm not going to sit here and say Tennessee has a bad culture, but I will say I don't see a culture at all. Like, when you think about Tennessee football, what do you think of? I don't even know. There's no identity to the program, because there have been so many head coaches, there have been so many guys in and out, that you really don't know what you have there.
So what's the first step, Gerard, as somebody that's now on the other side? Now you're learning to coach, and you're learning under one of the greats, you know, obviously one of, if not the greatest coach ever, in an unbelievable organization that's well-run, usually incredibly well-organized and well-structured. How do you rebuild a culture? I don't know that you even call it a bad culture. Like you said, it's almost a non-existent culture. It's an absent culture. It's an invisible culture. So how do you make it visible again? What's the first step? What's the first thing you do?
You know, that's a great question. And I'll say, in the NFL, really the culture starts at the very top, and that's with ownership. Okay, so the Kraft family, you know, they've done a good job, the continuity there, and then having the continuity with Bill and the rest of the staff. If you look at our staff, there's really not much turnover unless those guys leave and go become head coaches somewhere. There's not much turnover in the staff. Now, in college football, really, the head coach is the owner, he's the GM, and he's also the head coach, right? So I think the first thing you got to do, and I know Tennessee's looking for an athletic director, but you got to get a head coach in there that's really going to establish the culture, right? And to me, that is the number one step. Like, the AD is the AD. It is what it is. Like, he could be there, but honestly, he's not really contributing to wins and losses besides picking the head ball coach. And I think, like, bringing a head ball coach in there that loves football, okay, loves to connect, loves the, you know, the relationship aspect of coaching. Because when you look at college football, it's really about the players. Mm-hmm. Even in the NFL, it's about the players. But in college football, it's really about, you know, getting good players in there, like developing those guys on a day-to-day basis, not only to become good football players, but also good men. And so when you bring those guys in there, you bring these young kids, you're bringing kids in there, right? And you're trying to develop them on and off the field. Like, you got to put as much stress on them as possible. And if those guys enter the transfer portal, it is what it is. They don't want to be great. And so all the players that I've been around, all the great players, right? The Tom Brady's, the Randy Moss, all those guys, all those great players, they want to be coached hard. They want to be coached hard. So I would say bring a coach in there that's going to coach these guys hard, both on and off the field, and develop young men that are able to deal with adversity on a day-to-day basis. Because when you look at a football game, right, you look at a football game, they're going to be ups and downs. I don't care who you're playing. You could be playing the weakest school in the country, but there's still going to be ups and downs throughout that game. And being able to deal with that adversity on a day-to-day basis in practice, in the weight room, all of that stuff carries over to the games. And so hopefully they just bring a head coach in there that can kind of instill that mental toughness, you know, doing what's right. I mean, doing what's best for the team, even though it may not be good for you individually. And like we always talk about leaving I, you, and me in the locker room, and we got some work to do. All right. And so building that culture and building that team aspect, like that to me is the number one thing you got
to
do.
So when do you arrive in Knoxville to take over the job?
Hey, whenever they offer it.
There it is. So we got Gerard Mayo, a former VFL All-American, Pro Bowler, All-Pro, whatever you want to name it. He's a New England Patriots position coach right now. And Mayo, the question is, as Jason just alluded to, I'm also getting texts and just everything from everybody right now. Hawk from the equipment room and UT told me to tell you what's up to Mayo, by the way.
Hawk, I said what's up. That's my
Hawk's texting me. You got a lot of people excited right now. And I don't know if you realize this, but this is probably your public interview, at least from Vol fans that are listening right now, Mayo. But
look, I'll be honest. I wasn't even planning on doing interviews this offseason, but you know, I interviewed with the Eagles, but yeah. Just interviews on the radio. But my guy Moan called. I gotta hop off. I gotta get on the show.
We appreciate it.
Means we gotta get on record on a lot of different stuff. Then we gotta make the most of this.
So Mayo, right now, I'm sure you never pictured it, but I ain't gonna say you never pictured, because anybody that knows you, Mayo, from the time you walked in, you've been a very savvy business sense. And yes, I'm kind of, I ain't giving you your flowers. I'm just giving you the facts of where you've been in your career. When you came in from day one from Kickerton High School in the Tidewater Beach area of Virginia, you were a business minded guy about it. You learned the defense, you executed it, and you brought everybody else along with you. The group of guys that we had, me, you, Rob, Inky, and Sinclair, brought a group with us, and it was kind of contagious. That's what you've done. I heard the same thing about you from your other teammates in New England, like Mayo's. They called you a mini Belichick. I know you don't want to hear that, but like they call you a mini head coach while you're out there. You're transitioning to the game. It wasn't surprising. I've heard a guy like Coach Tomlin and say, hey, do you know Gerard got on the staff in New England? He was like, I'm not surprised. You have people like that say that about you. Right now, there's Vegas odds that say you are in contention for a head coaching job with an NFL team. You're also in a conversation now as being a head coach at a college university, the school that you play for. Just quite honestly, how do you feel about that in a sense of your college alma mater having you as a candidate, potentially, if they reach out?
Hey, I'm humbled just to even hear that. You know, it's a great opportunity. You know, when I left, when I finished my playing career, I went and worked in business for about 3 years for United Health Group, and it was great. I'll be honest, like, I've been around a lot of good leaders, and I've been around a lot of, we'll call them bad leaders, but I guess you really can't be a bad leader. But I picked up nuggets along the way. And I think, you know, the thing about leadership is, like, can you bring other guys? You can't be a leader if you don't have followers, right? Mm-hmm. And so can you bring the other guys? And you hit it on the head, you know, with you and Inky and Rob, all those guys, even Arian, like, we would be there early and we would stay late. We would do things when the team wasn't doing them. And really, you saw that really transform into all of us having pretty solid careers in NFL. Obviously, Ink had the injury and things like that, but he was on his way. And so when you look at, and I don't know, because I haven't been back to Tennessee in a long time, I don't know where the leadership is coming from. Obviously, right now, you know, hopefully Coach Steele does a good job. And I've met Coach Steele a couple of times. I think he's a great coach. So hopefully he's able to instill and really pick out a few leaders, right? And this is from the head ball coach to me. So obviously the captains are selected by a group of their peers, hopefully. A lot of teams do it that way, and I think that's the way to do it. But I will say this. The job of a leader, the job of the head coach is really to set that North Star. And if they can set that North Star, like, this is what we want to be, this is where we're going, and anything that happens, it doesn't matter. We can always look at that North Star and know that we're going the right way. Like, that, to me, is the job of a leader. And so hopefully Coach Steele can do that, or whoever the next head ball coach is can do that. And hopefully you know, the coach should pick out five or six guys that can really be the flag bearer of what you want this team and what you want this culture to be. And when you pick those guys out, like, those guys got to be able to disseminate the message amongst the rest of the guys, you know, because honestly, it's hard sometimes for defensive guys to talk to offensive guys, or offensive guys to talk to defensive guys. And so hopefully you find a couple of flag bearers. Doesn't matter who it is, right? And those guys really start to carry the message and carry the flag of what UT football is supposed to be. Like, when you think about UT football from a holistic standpoint, or, you know, you're talking about, like, decades, right? Talk about decades. We're not where we're supposed to be right now, right? Like, being a VFL, like, it kind of hurts sometimes. Like, over the last, you know, we'll say 10 years, yeah, it's been difficult to watch Vols football. It's been difficult. I know they beat up on a couple of teams that they're supposed to win. Those are the games they're supposed to win, honestly. Like, it is what it is. I remember, Mom, when we played, mm-hmm, it wasn't if we were going to win. It was by how many points are we going to win by. Like, that was the mentality.
Yeah.
And we got to get back to that mentality, because right now, I mean, it stinks watching that ball.
Gerard, before we let you go, we just have a couple of seconds left, but I know the audience needs to hear this out loud. What do you think your next, like, when you look at where you're headed, do you think you're going to be a coordinator? Do you think you're going to be a head coach on the college level? Or, I mean, the Eagles were really impressed with you when you interviewed with them. But, like, I mean, there's a team here in Nashville that didn't have a defensive coordinator last year. And I know the audience at least wants me to throw that out to you as well. There's a lot of spots in this state if you want to come home, is what I'm saying.
Look, I'll be honest with you. Like, the coordinator role, like, I've been offered coordinator role. All right? I've been offered coordinator role. To me, like, where this whole notion that you have to be a coordinator to be a head coach, to me, is totally off. Like, if you're a leader of men, like, do you have to call plays? I don't think so, personally. Or if you're a leader of men, do you have to have a title of coordinator? I don't think so. And I'm not big into titles. I'm not big into all that stuff. I'm big into winning football games. And to me, that's what it's all about. And I think I have a lot to offer as far as the head coach is concerned. And to me right now, that's my primary goal, is to be a head coach at any level, honestly.
That was Gerard Mayo with us yesterday morning. It led me to immediately say, I might make him tell me no.
Yeah.
At least I want to have a conversation with him. He will be a head coach. I don't know when. I don't know how long it will be. He will be a head coach.
100%. You can tell just in his conversations that he's having right now, like, that's the plan. You know, and at some point, somebody's going to give him an opportunity. He checks all the boxes on a lot of things, man. And it'll be good to see at least him get a conversation with UT. But we don't make those decisions. We can only suggest it. And I've had a lot of VFL former teammates of mine, guys played before me and after me. It was like, man, I love that. But we'll see, man. We're supposedly in good hands right now with Danny White. We're going to roll with that, Jay.
I saw Stephen Godfrey say yesterday that Tennessee hired the right kind of bleep.
Ooh.
Because Danny White's,
yeah,
for real.
Yeah.
And he takes it seriously. If you look at some of the history with him and Bobby Hurley, you'll see.
Yeah.
Danny White,
he ain't playing around.
Don't have much time for it, man.
He ain't playing around. That's what I'm talking about. Let us know how you feel about this. The 2 weeks we've had, honestly, Jason, have just been walking the Oregon Trail right now. We're in, like, the North Dakota, like, Denver part of it right now. Just feet cold, wagons cold. Like, now we're starting to see a little bit of the sunlight. I'm enjoying this, man.
As long as you don't pass away from dysentery on that, you'll be good.
Yeah, seriously, don't ford that river, man. Never works.
Never ford the river.
Never works.
Ever.
615-737-1045. 737-1045. What's your hope level here? What was your hope level yesterday listening to us, and what's your hope level today? Mm-hmm. What does Danny White mean? Or is it a wait-and-see approach for you? Because certainly there have been some stops and starts and some times when you felt like you had something and it has not worked out. But here's a new name, and not a name anybody really was talking very much about.
No.
And here he is, Danny White, your new athletic director at the University of Tennessee. We'll react a little bit more to what Mayo said. We got to talk about AJ Brown and that video and Dean Pease.
Ooh.
We actually suggested that.
Yep.
And we kind of trolled it when we did it. Well, Trolls had a sequel. It's called World Tour.
Yeah,
Dean Pease is taking a tour from Nashville down to Atlanta to join Arthur Smith. But I'm trying to just spin words right now.
It's working for me.
See what I'm doing?
Yeah, it's working for me, Jay.
Oh!
First one of the day.
No, that was because of what happened during the break.
For you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That was the patronizing.
No, not for me. To him, busy patronized me during the break.
Because he said something into our ears.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah.
And
yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, hey, come again, he went,
and then Ramon said, what do you say? And I was like, I didn't really hear him. I was just
trash. I was just nodding my head. Mm-hmm.
Everybody listening's done that before.
Got you another word for you,
somebody
but
you have respect for, and you know kind of probably what was said. You're like, yeah, man, Chris Paul.
5 minutes later, what did he say?
Oh, that,
what was his name again?
Oh, man, we got 3 more hours. I don't know if we're going to make it today, folks. 615-737-1045, back in the Flash on the Zone.
How do the Vols pick up the pieces and move forward? Who's the right person to lead UT out of this situation? Talk about it here on your home for Vols football. 1045 The Zone.
Celebrity Playlist Friday, and we're actually playing a mashup today.
Yeah.
Of all the people that have taken part in this so far. And now the people that do it from here on out, starting next Friday, they get an extra hour
I, when I made my playlist, it was hard making like 6 songs, man. I ain't gonna lie. So getting more, because we got another hour.
I mean, I give you a solid C+ on what you did come up with.
You know what? You can go take that down the street, okay? Because this song is Get Your Mind Right, okay? And that's what
man,
UT is at.
Take that down the street.
Mushroom Coffee from Ramon Foster.
See what
man.
I'm saying? You know why you gave him a demerit in that last section?
Because he's being a jerk.
Section? Last
yeah.
sex?
Section. All right?
That is a demerit.
You hanging out with Philip Rivers?
No. All demerits today goes... All the demerits today go to Jason, man. I'm sitting here having a good conversation. Well, no. It was a statement I made towards him, and I wanted his input. And I'm looking at him look at me, right? I asked him a question. I said, what you think? He said, huh? What, I was looking at the TV behind you, Mom. Dog.
Well, you thought you were having a conversation.
I
there
did.
Was no conversation because it had no recipient.
It had no, but he was right here looking at me, what I thought. I'm not looking at you.
What?
See what I'm saying? And he did you the same way.
I was looking above him at the television screen.
Dog, I'm telling you right now.
Trying to listen to Eric Bieniemy, and here's this thought talking to me.
And you're like Joe Burrow right now.
You can't let Joe Burrow start feeling himself.
Nah.
I
can't believe you just said that.
I'm talking to this thought right now.
Man.
I tell you what. I hope you walk in front of me. Down some stairs, and a slight little nudge is going to get you down there quicker.
What people don't know is we actually do have a balcony here, so you could go death row on them if you wanted to.
I'm sorry, it wouldn't be a bad fall. It's not like it's 20 stories up like it was on the 500.
He ain't going to die. He's going to get a little busted up.
Dudes fall off buildings every day, B.
Picture me polling. One quarterback to win one game. Who you got?
Give the options, man. This was a tough one.
Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Josh Allen. Now, you know you're not picking Josh Allen right now.
No,
I understand this. Not in this list. I imagine he's going
to
be fourth.
Unless it's Bills Mafia right listening to us right now.
Yeah, and look, they could win.
They could win.
They could certainly win on Sunday. But the point here is, look at the quarterbacks that are playing on Sunday in these championship games. And you tell me, if you're the Houston Texans, how you could let it get to this point with Deshaun Watson. I mean, seriously.
You can't.
If you don't have a quarterback, you got nothing.
The leaps and bounds that Josh Allen has made with his coach, with his offense, with his team. Imagine Deshaun Watson making those same leaps and bounds. Right now, they can't even figure out a head coach. And I know they want to take their time with it.
I know what they're doing. I think I know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
I think they're taking Bieniemy. And that's going to be their olive branch to try and keep Deshaun.
Try to keep Deshaun. Yeah.
I think they're going to hire Bieniemy. Everybody wants that to happen.
Yeah.
They want that storyline to be over. I think it'll be Bieniemy, and the guy that's actually not going to get a head coaching job out of this cycle is Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator in Buffalo, who we thought would have been off the board.
You thought Chargers, right?
Well, I thought Arthur Smith to the Chargers, but then I thought Brian Daboll to the Chargers. When the Falcons opened, you started to think, well, Arthur makes a lot of sense down there.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't catch me off guard, but the fact that Daboll's going to be there, and there's some guys that did get jobs that you don't really know a whole lot about. But I'll tell you this. some point we need to play that Dan Campbell presser.
Oh, my God.
Did you hear that?
Oh, my goodness, man.
I hope he's good. He's not Freddie Kitchens.
Ooh-wee. Man, he sounded almost like it was brick by brick.
No.
The guy he reminded me of was...
There was no coach speak.
You remember Jim Tom Sula for the Niners for that one year?
Yep. That was, you better be able to answer the bell when stuff like that gets out there, man, because he's going to be a meme for a long time. Best thing I saw somebody say, see, this is why you prepare a speech going into a conference like this. He just went kneecap to kneecap, baby. You know what? Last man standing.
How about just biting knees, biting kneecaps?
Never thought of that one. I'm going to be real. I'm going to hit somebody in the kneecaps, you know, or kick them in the leg. I'd never thought about it. He said bite off the kneecap, didn't he?
And then take a bite out of the kneecap, I think is what he said.
And then if you knock us down again, I'm biting the other one. I was like, oh,
So if you're in a hospital, doped up,
yep.
Turn the phone off,
please. After saying you don't want to be recorded by your dad. You are recording yourself.
When we come back, the curious case of A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Who had surgery on both of his knees, plus some other Titans information. Dean Pease is back in the NFL. What does it mean, and why did it happen? Mm-hmm. We're going to give you the straightness when we come back. Ramon's going to talk. I'm not going to hear it. I'm going to need to podcast the show just to hear what's been said on the show. You can podcast to hear all that is said on the show. J. Martin, Ramon, wherever you get your podcast. Ramon talks. I hear 40% of it next on The Zone. Boneless.